The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest is Brad Medary. Brad is a senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, and Brad is a leader in Booz Allen Hamilton's Strategic Innovation Group, focusing on delivering cyber solutions to federal and commercial clients. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Brad, I'm really looking forward to this discussion. You know, cyber is such a big deal these days in cybersecurity, and I know we're going to talk about continuous mitigation. Give me the
continuous CDM. Diagnostic and measurement.
Okay. CDM for short, right?
Yep.
We're going to talk about that, but let's talk. Can I get a little bit about your background and how you came to Booz Allen and
how you
even got into cybersecurity? Because I'm old enough to realize the internet didn't exist for a long time.
So I've been around Booz Allen for a while. I started back in 1996 and. My background is system development and system integration, and I've been supporting both commercial and federal clients, you know, over the last 18 years. I really got into cybersecurity through some work with the Department of Defense. My background in system integration, you know, I've been doing a lot of work around information sharing, information exploitation, and certainly, you know, over the last 10 years with, you know, some of the work in Iraq and Afghanistan that our firm's been doing, we've been building some solutions around intelligence, around analytics, and data integration, information sharing. And the capabilities and skill sets that my team has developed really transferred well into the cyber domain.
Okay, and it's that information sharing and the challenges post 9/11 world, there's a lot of silos prior to that, right?
Lots of siloed information. It's interesting, you know, back in 2000, right after September 11th, there was, you know, silos of information. Really, it was hard to kind of connect the dots. You know, over the last, you know, 12, 13 years, we've really done a great job now of bringing that information together. And the problem's almost the inverse now. Now, as opposed to silos of information, now we're drowning in data. You know, our clients are collecting all this data. Now the question is, so what?
Right.
How do I actually turn that into something meaningful?
Right. Something that they can use as information, that actionable information versus, you know, just a bunch of data, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. That's a good segue, or just let's talk about the state of the cyber world right now. And I know over the last few months, this year, there's been all these, you know, headlines about breaches, and primarily, I think, in the private sector, commercial firms having problems with their cybersecurity. So what is the threat profile out there? What is going on?
Yeah, I think the threat space has really evolved significantly over the past few years. You know, I joke often that, you know, in the past, you know, we were concerned about some 16-year-old sitting in their parents' basement, you know, trying to hack our corporate website.
Yeah, weren't there movies made about that or something, right?
Yeah. So certainly the threat landscape has significantly evolved over the past few years. You know, today we're not as concerned with that 16-year-old in their basement. We're worried about criminal groups seeking financial gain, trying to, you know, breaking into our financial institutions, trying to, you know, profit from identity theft, profit from tax refund fraud. It's very, very organized and, you know, evolving every day.
Right. So, like, you hear see headlines like the hacking from Russia, allegedly. I've been radio show, allegedly. You know, even state-sponsored cyber espionage, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, one of the biggest threats are, you know, our nation state adversaries. I mean, certainly they're the most persistent and the most dangerous. Very different motivations from criminal groups. Not necessarily looking as much on the financial gain side, but looking to gather technology secrets, espionage. Very, very different, but certainly a threat to our nation, threat to our federal networks, a threat to our commercial clients as well.
So we've got all these folks trying to figure out, you know, our technologies, our motivations, and our financial records. What are some of the current trends for, you know, protection of the information, detection of these folks, and how the networks are defended?
Yeah, you know, I think looking across our client space, I think there's varying levels of maturity. There's certainly been a significant focus, investment around cyber solutions, cyber technologies. You know, we go into and work with our clients, and they really have heavy investment in software and tools. And this has made significant strides in terms of increasing the collective posture of their enterprise. But again, it's been done more on a point-by-point basis. The federal government, in many cases, still has not looked at this in terms of a broader enterprise. And there's some major transformational programs and initiatives underway that are focused on that are really exciting and that we're really excited to be part of. The other piece, I think, is in many cases, we see a much more reactive state to cyber threats. The threats continue to evolve, and it's hard not to be reactive in this space. And really, I think to be where we need to be, we need to get much more out in front of that threat, be able to predict the threats so that we can more proactively react and respond.
So is that the holy grail of, you know, cyber predictive intelligence, figuring out where, you know, what people are going to do or how and how they're going to do it?
Is one of my focuses at Booz Allen in our strategic innovation group is around predictive intelligence. And it really focuses around looking at our clients, helping them better understand what their attack surface is, who are some of the adversaries that are coming after them, being able to use different data sources to be able to better predict those threats so they can get out in front, so they can put more protective and defensive mechanisms in place before the attack occurs.
Yeah. When do we get to that point or be able to do that? I'm just curious, you know, the predictive intelligence sounds almost like artificial intelligence kind of thing. That seems to me would be a piece of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, our firm is well known for our analytic capabilities, and, you know, we've invested heavily around that. I think that, you know, we're supporting a lot of commercial clients in the financial, retail, oil, natural gas. We're working with them today to get out in front of those threats. We have a analytic team that's constantly looking at data, trends, and providing proactive and preemptive warnings to our clients. We've had a lot of success in that space.
You mentioned data again, and earlier you mentioned, you know, the flood of data that is out there. And is that the biggest challenge, trying to parse that data to get indications or just understand where people make, is that the biggest challenge, just managing that data able to analyze it?
Our challenge is we're drowning in data. There's no shortage of data these days. We produce just such a mass amount of data. The challenge is, how do you find the needle in the haystack?
Right.
The signal to noise ratio, for lack of a better word, is just unbelievable. We need more analytics, more computing power, more techniques to be able to really process through that data to find that true event, that adversary that's coming after our particular clients.
And is that data issue, is that the top issue you hear from your clients?
I mean, I think our clients, a couple things. One is our clients have invested heavily in firewalls, in host-based sensors, in network appliances and network devices. And the challenge they have is that they have all these investments. They're making an impact across the enterprise. But the question is, so what? They still don't have true situational awareness. And I think that the next big thing is being able to take all this disparity.
So I have to stop you right there. What is situational awareness? Well, how would you define that? I think it's interesting.
Yeah, so if I'm a CIO of an organization, and I look at my investment in cyber, the first question I would ask is, so what? Am I any more secure? These investments that I've made, what impact, you know, have they really had on my organization? How are they going to really prevent the next attack? How do I know I'm secure? A couple of years ago, when you read about a cyber attack in the news, it would surface, there'd be a lot of press. In a couple of days, it would die down.
About, right.
You know, if you look today, there's CIOs losing their job because of these cyber attacks. It's a big issue. In situational awareness, executives, decision makers want to know, how secure is my enterprise? Where am I weak? Where do I need to invest? Where am I investing too much? And, you know, one of the things that we've been working with our client is to help them better understand, make smart investments, help them to take advantage of the investments and the enterprise assets that they have, but be able to fuse those together into an actionable picture to get situational awareness, to be able to make decisions around cyber threats and vulnerabilities.
Well, the situational awareness right now, Brad, is we do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking more to Brad Medary. Brad is a senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about, you know, the Booz Allen Hamilton clients, what their challenges are, where they're going, key issues that they're facing right now. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Agencies today understand they are under a constant cyber threat. They also understand that in order to build continuous diagnostics and mitigation solutions that meet their mission requirements, they need a partner, not just a vendor. At Booz Allen Hamilton, we approach CDM by rolling up our sleeves and partnering with our clients to develop long-term solutions based on our cybersecurity experience and tradecraft. Our cyber experts and technologists work with agencies to tailor blueprints that meet their needs so that they can turn insight into action and stay in command and control of their IT enterprise. We build solutions that dynamically defend our clients' most critical assets, keeping them ahead of threats. Today, data and technology are critical to meet the business needs at any agency. And at Booz Allen Hamilton, we're here to help our clients be truly cyber ready. Learn more about our CDM services and solutions at boozallen.com/CDM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Brad Medary. Brad is a senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton, and Brad is a leader in Booz Allen Hamilton's Strategic Innovation Group, focusing on delivering cyber solutions to federal and commercial customers across the nation. And Brad, when we took the break, we started talking a little bit more, a deep dive into some of the challenges, you know, particularly the federal customers facing right now, and or your federal clients. And so really just basically what, you know, we talked about data a little bit and people drowning data. What else are your federal clients talking to you about as identifying as their key challenges?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. First is we all know the current budget environment. Budgets are shrinking. Threats continue to evolve. And the question is, how do you do better with less? And so, you know, our clients constantly struggle with funding and priorities around, you know, mission needs versus protecting and defending the core infrastructure. I really think the two go hand in hand, but there's a lot of, you know, our clients are forced to make a lot of tough decisions.
Now, would that lend itself to two sort of questions, I think, of when you mentioned that budget challenges? Do you think that leads to more shared services models across the federal enterprise?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One is I think it lends itself to, I mean, certainly with the movement to the cloud, delivering security offerings as shared services, as managed services, you get economies of scale, drive down costs while providing, you know, high quality, high available services. You also get efficiencies in terms of sustainment and operations as well. Having shared services teams managing and operating, it can reduce your O&M footprint across the enterprise.
Right. And my other question on that budget issue is there a foundational base of commercial solutions that, you know, the government should be able to leverage a little bit better than it's doing right now?
Well, I mean, I think there's, I think that in terms of the current budget environment, it's forcing everyone to think differently. And in the past, culture has been, let's take it, install it in our enterprise. Let's operate it and maintain it.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that through Amazon with AWS, Amazon Web Services, other large providers, Microsoft, are providing capabilities as a service. And it's a trend in the industry. And I think that, you know, our clients are much more open to adopting that than in the past. You get economies of scale, you get commercial best practices.
Sure.
You get to more quickly be able to deliver capabilities. There's still a big question around security. And that's something that we're partnered with, you know, both our government clients and also our industry partners to help provide those secure solutions delivered as managed services in the cloud.
Right. And this is a common, this is kind of, is not every day that you, that the federal government and the commercial clients have sort of the common challenge that they're facing in terms of protecting their networks. And I think you're probably, you know, learn a lot from both sides in terms of, you know, best practices that could theoretically apply in, you know, commercial best practices apply in the federal government, but there may be also lessons learned from federal implementations that could work in the private sector too. Does that make any sense?
It does. You bring up a good point because I think when looking at defending your enterprise, I think that there has to be a strong partnership between commercial and government. Information sharing is absolutely critical. One of the things that we do is work with our clients to be able to better understand the attack surface, what are the threats against their enterprise, and help them to better understand what are indicators of compromise that they need to be on the lookout for. Any opportunity to create an information sharing environment where you can share actionable threat intelligence between government and commercial entities, I think it's good for the collective whole.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we're all sort of in this together, right?
Yeah.
Are there other, challenges that, your clients are specifically talking to you about or concerned about that you're responding to?
Yeah, I think the other thing is, changing the culture from this culture of, compliance and reporting to this environment of a more real-time, proactive environment. And, within the civil agencies, there's a major transformational initiative, CDM, Continuous Diagnostic and Mitigation, that's being spearheaded by DHS and in partnership with GSA. And they're really, looking to drive change across the entire, federal government to protect.gov in a much more real-time manner than we've ever seen in the past.
And so you've already segued to my next question. I was going to ask you about, how is the federal government responding to these challenges, whether it's espionage, the sophisticated attacks, and even the budget. It sounds like this is a sort of government-wide program that can leverage capabilities from the private sector.
Yeah, so CDM is the initiative, and there's multiple phases. And really, the intent is to provide basically up armoring the entire federal enterprise. And they're doing that in partnership with GSA. They released a large BPA where you can buy both software and services. The interesting thing there on the software side is that allows a single buying vehicle for federal agencies to buy these security solutions so that they get better economies of scale. You get better buying power. You get better overall volume price discounts.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. I think it also promotes a good partnership between industry, the vendor community, and also the federal clients.
Now, is this one of the things too, and this is both, this is a strategic but tactical, it combines the tactical as well, right? I mean, it's strategic in the sense, let's come up with an overall approach to addressing CDM. At the same time, then this is put in place as the tactical. Looking at the federal strategic approach versus tactical, this is a piece of it, right?
From a strategic perspective, OMB released guidance, a memo called OMB 14-03, and that really required every federal agency to establish a SCM program to implement these continuous monitoring of the security controls by 2017. So OMB really set the strategic guidance, the strategic vision, and the mandate. DHS now is carrying the torch, for lack of a better word, and working in partnership with the other federal agencies to drive that agenda. On the tactical side, each agency has an implementation plan, and they're working in collaboration with DHS to be able to implement these SCM tools and capabilities and offerings within their agency.
Okay, so Brad, what are the keys to success, to a successful CDM implementation?
Yeah, when looking at success for an agency implementing the CDM solution, I mean, it's important to note that this really represents a cultural shift. We're moving, from an environment of compliance and reporting into an environment of real-time assessment. And to be successful, there's really a couple key things. One is we need to make sure that the agencies, we don't disrupt current operations. We use the word do no harm. Within an agency, they're running missions, operations every day, supporting the broader public. And we need to make sure that that continues. But at the same time, we need to up armor their existing environment to be able to better protect and defend, to be able to better respond in real time. And so going into an agency environment, partnership with existing contractors, with the government clients, is going to be really critical to a successful CDM implementation.
Okay. And Brad, we do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that partnership and some of the key aspects of it. My guest today is Brad Medary. He is a senior vice president from Booz Allen Hamilton, and you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Shouldn't a workstation live up to its billing? If yours are no longer working, there's Initiate from the Han Company. Initiate workstations are easy to order, install, and reconfigure. Components fit precisely and provide endless ways for space planners to arrange people. Initiate is also highly sustainable, helping reduce your environmental footprint. initiate workstations inspired by the practical needs of the workplace. Online at hon.com. That's H-O-N.com.
Well, welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Brad Medary. Brad is the Senior Vice President at Booz Allen Hamilton. Brad is a leader in Booz Allen Hamilton's Strategic Innovation Group, focusing on delivering cyber solutions for both commercial and federal customers. And Brad, when we had just took the break, you made a great point with regard to, you know, making sure everybody's on the same page, whether it's, you know, government contractors, the federal agencies, and that sort of thing. And you know, what are the keys to that? I mean, how do you get everybody to talk to each other, or just, you know, that leveraging that communication or the infrastructure so that you can identify vulnerabilities and address them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about partnership and collaboration. And I think that we all need to recognize that our collective success is based upon working together. And, you know, as we go into agencies to deliver these CDM solutions, there's existing contractors. There's folks running data centers. There's folks doing network operations. There's folks doing security operations. And, you know, we're going to have to just have an open dialogue and make sure that the handoff is seamless and that roles and responsibilities are clearly defined. And at the end of the day, we need to do what's in the best interest of our clients.
Right. I know when we've talked before, and even you mentioned earlier in the show, is the ability to share information across, you know, platforms, you know, and share best practices, whether they're federally inspired or commercially inspired, is going to be critical to sort of the collective security of everybody. You know, what are you doing in that space to try to facilitate that?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a lot of work both in the federal and the commercial space. On the federal side, you know, we're supporting some programs that's really facilitating information sharing across the industrial base to make sure that cyber threats are shared or known. So when our organization potentially sees an event, that we can share that with others so that, you know, they can protect and defend against that as well. We're also involved in some CRADAs with
well, what is that?
A CRADA is basically a collaborative agreement between government and industry to work together. In this particular case, looking to share different types of threat information. So that, again, we can all collectively understand, you know, what the threats are, who's coming after us, and so we can all better protect and defend and get out in front of these cyber attacks.
So, you know, as a layman, I just, you know, when I think CDM, I just see this sort of a constant on switch, right, where you're always monitoring the network, diagnosing what's going on. Can you talk about your roadmap that you use at Booz Allen Hamilton for continuous monitoring?
Maybe I can spend a minute talking about DHS's view of CDM. And it's really based upon, we call it an inside-out strategy. There's really three phases. Phase one is around the endpoint, shoring up the endpoint to better understand what devices you have on the network, what type of software is installed, what are the configurations, and what are the vulnerabilities. And based upon that, you get a lot of data that gives you actionable information, gives you situational awareness. You know that you need to invest in patching these vulnerabilities, or you know when a new device is potentially plugged into your network that shouldn't be there. And so that's really phase one. Phase two is something called least privilege, really allowing folks only to have access to information that they really need access to. That's going to be implementing things like two-phase authentication. And then the last phase is around integrated event management, really at an enterprise level, being able to look at trends and events and be able to better adjudicate them and promote security across the entire federal enterprise. You know, we tend to, when talking about CDM, one of the best expressions that I've heard is one miracle at a time. And so I would describe our approach as that. We're focused on helping our clients secure the endpoints and really get the data they need to make actionable decisions.
Right. And, you know, when you describe those phases, you know, I just started thinking, you know, how big a challenge it really is. And I go back to thinking, because the citizens want to be able to interact with our government, you know, via the web, right? The internet.
Yeah.
Like whether it's healthcare.gov, and they talk about, you know, when they were tracking how many people had signed up for health insurance, you know, the Social Security Administration, all those things, you know, where the citizen is trying to interact with the government or and government services are dependent upon the ability to do that. that just seems like that's going to be a bigger and bigger issue moving forward. Just all these different potential channels through which people can enter the government. You know, how does the government address it, or think, what is the government thinking about that aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, earlier we talked about, we mentioned attack surface, and that's really the parts of an infrastructure where our adversaries are targeting. It's interesting when you look at CDM and related to the attack surface. You know, in preparation for today, you know, I was going through some stats with our team, and what's fascinating is the majority of attacks are a result of really two primary things. One is a training issue, and the second is because of a misconfiguration of a machine or a connected device on your network. You know, we tend to think of a lot of sophisticated attacks, but a lot of them are really fundamentally rather basic and could be prevented. You know, CDM will stop probably 85% of the cyber attacks just by focusing on the hygiene and cleaning up the connected devices on the network.
Can you talk a little bit too about what are the key features or functions of a robust CDM?
Yeah, you know, for phase one, where we talked about the endpoint, there's really four key components to that. Hardware asset management, software asset management, configuration management, and vulnerability management. It's pretty simple. From a hardware asset management perspective, you really want to be able to identify unauthorized and unmanaged devices on your network. Someone plugs in a machine that doesn't belong there, you want to know immediately. Software asset management is really identifying unauthorized software. Are folks installing pieces of software that may have malware on your particular network? As soon as that happens, you need to know immediately. From a configuration management perspective, that's really looking at the configuration settings on a particular workstation. And finally, vulnerability management. It's really looking at known vulnerabilities on a particular workstation. Because, like I said, the majority of attacks could be prevented by making sure that your machines are properly patched and configured. Vulnerability management really gives you that situational awareness to be able to make decisions around
where patches need to be made,
need to focus your resources and your efforts. It goes back to there's lots of threats, evolves every day, and you have a finite amount of money. How do you best spend that money to best protect and defend your enterprise with the resources you have?
Okay, so and what are some of the key tools that or practices that you know encompass that? Be you know when you've identified those things, and so how does it become continuous?
Yeah, you know one of the things that we tend to focus on is there's a mature marketplace out for commercial tools and capabilities, and we have lots of product partners that we engage with. Early on, we talked about drowning in data, but really lack actionable insights. We tend to focus on the data. And with these tools and these capabilities that are out there, really being able to unlock them, make sure that they work together in an open, interoperable way so that they can actually share the information, fuse the information across these tools and technologies. That's one of the biggest challenges is these stovepipe tools that don't integrate, that don't easily share data. And our focus has really been unlocking the data out of these tools so that we can bring that data together, fuse it, and provide, again, back to that word, situational awareness, but provide that actionable decision-making, decision information to executives and leaders.
Okay, so remember, I'm a layman. So, I think of stovepipes or silos. Was it the philosophy in the past that if I kept my stovepipe, I was better protected? Because, you know, when you talk about more open, it's sort of counterintuitive to a layperson that the more open and data is being shared, the more potential vulnerabilities. I can't say it. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying.
Vulnerabilities. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. And we're gonna. That's my tongue twister for the day.
one of the reasons for some of the silos around the different products and the data has really been this space evolves extremely fast, and there haven't been defined standards to really promote interoperability and information sharing. NIST has done a lot of great work around SCAP, an emergent set of standards that really promote that open information sharing. But the product space evolves extremely fast, and being able to meet the unique requirements of an enterprise while sharing data in an open, interoperable way can be a challenge at times. And so one of the areas that we partner with our clients in the vendor community is really around open, interoperable architectures.
Okay, so really what you're talking about is of new products to be able to plug and play.
Yeah.
Right. To secure the network.
That's right.
Okay. I get it now.
So this space is evolving rapidly. Every day, You know, there's a new cyber product out there and it solves a niche. You plug it into your enterprise and the question is, how does it fit into the ecosystem?
Sure. And do no harm, right?
And do no harm.
Right. So when we do have to take our last break, my guest today is Brad Madera. He's Senior Vice President at Booz Allen Hamilton. And when we come back, we'll start looking at the aspirational state. Where do we want to get to in terms of CDM and cybersecurity and protecting.gov? You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Brad Madera. Brad is a Senior Vice President at Booz Allen Hamilton. He is a leader in Booz Allen Hamilton's Strategic Innovation Group, focusing on delivering cyber solutions to both federal and commercial customers. And Brad, you know, when we took the break, I mentioned the aspirational state. And, you know, one of the things that really fascinates me that we've talked about a little bit about, you know, preparation for the show was, you've characterized this as not necessarily a technology problem, but a, I guess, people slash organizational slash cultural sort of challenge and in the policy area especially. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that, I mean, as a policy wonk, that's where I get sort of really, you know, my juices get flowing.
Yeah, when you look at any type of large-scale transformation, technology is certainly a piece of this. I mean, however, I mean, this is a paradigm shift. We're going from a culture of compliance, a culture of reporting, to real-time information, real-time assessments. There's a huge training element. You know, we need to work to retrain system administrators, security operations centers, network operations centers, managers, to be able to better process and parse this information, to do something with that information. That's going to be a significant part of CDM, is really changing the culture, re-educating the workforce. And in general, it's hard to let go of data. And you know, you're creating transparency, you're creating visibility, awareness. And now we're looking at these federal dashboards that are going to be integrating and fusing information. On the bright side, you get a complete picture of your enterprise. You know, at the senior most level, you can look at where agencies stand in terms of being able to meet the CDM mandates. What is their real risk posture? But at the same time, it's culturally challenging as well.
Sure. Yeah, and I guess one of the things, too, when you think about monitoring and reacting in real time, as opposed to, you know, the traditional, to me, the government approach is, you know, you find a problem after the fact, you report it, you've complied, right? Here, it's much more proactive. And to me, you know, as someone who spent 20 years in the government, that is a huge cultural challenge to change people's approach. And do you think part of that is somehow embracing, you know, management discretion to actually act at the tactical level when they see something like this and be able to act to address it rather than, you know, the government traditional thing would be, oh, we see this, let's go huddle, let's figure out, like, you know, let's get all the stakeholders involved all at once. I mean, by the time you figure out what you're going to do, it's too late. I mean, is that, to me, that's, as, again, as someone working in the government 20 years, that's a real challenge.
Yeah. And I think empowerment is a key ingredient to this. And, you know, the workforce, the staff need to be empowered based upon information and data they receive to be able to take action. The threat's not going to wait. And
right.
We need to be able to, based upon being able to get out in front of that threat, quickly respond to take action, you know, to prevent these attacks, to prevent any disruptions to operations.
Right. Do you see, in a, you know, again, as a layperson, you know, I almost see, like, you know, at agencies, a cyber tiger team or something that, you know, is, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe it is, it's got to be the line per, you know, to be truly continuous diagnostics and mitigation, you've got to be, it's a line person day to day, whoever's managing the network, understanding the sensitivity, being able to react in real time.
Yeah, you know, I think a key ingredient is remediation. So CDM gets you the transparency, the visibility. And so you better understand what's happening in your enterprise. You know, the question is, you know, when you find something, how do you quickly respond and remediate? Certainly in the near term, there's going to be a lot of people in the loop that need to, you know, take action and to do patches or other things. I see really the long-term value proposition here is automated remediation, you know, allowing machines to process and automatically roll out fixes, patches, et cetera, based upon what's being seen across the enterprise. In my mind, I use the term a lot, intelligence to operations.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the things that we're investing heavily in is something called predictive intelligence. And it really takes actionable threat intelligence, pushes it down into an enterprise, and, you know, you need to be able to take that intelligence and operationalize it quickly. And so if you know the actor X, for example, may be coming after your organization, well, you may know actor X uses a certain set of tactics, techniques, and procedures. Based upon that, you can automatically push out remediations to be able to proactively protect and defend against that.
Right, and that's the machines design that and deliver it to the network?
Yeah, I mean, being able to transfer data in machine-readable formats, threat intelligence in a machine-readable format, going into an enterprise so that the CDM solution can automatically take that and push out policies, push out patches across the enterprise. It allows you to very quickly react and respond to potential threats before they occur.
You know, it seems, I mean, there's so many pieces to this. It truly is a holistic. You've got the monitoring, you know, the identification, and then the mitigation of it and addressing it. You can't be stovepipe, right? Because all those things have to work together, and not having people or organizations understand that, I mean, seems to be also would be a huge challenge in the federal government.
I mean, back to the culture change. And trusting machines to be able to push out automated policies takes time. And this is going to be, you know, back to the one miracle at a time. Let's get the endpoints locked down. Let's understand what's on the enterprise. And then over time, we'll move gradually towards more automated type remediation. You throw in the threat intelligence piece, it really allows you as an enterprise to get out in front of the threats, to be able to take action before they occur.
Well, you know, another big trend, and I know we mentioned it earlier in one of the earlier segments, is cloud services, cloud solutions. And does that lend itself to greater challenges, different challenges, or greater opportunities for cyber and CDM being effective? Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think cloud computing certainly is one of the buzzwords du jour now. And lots of folks use those words in very different ways. But from a cloud computing perspective, I think looking at cloud providers from a hosting perspective, delivering software and solutions as a service, and I think it's certainly a trend in the marketplace. I think it's going to offer efficiencies, economies of scale, long-term cost savings. So it's going to get traction, and it has gotten traction. I think it presents a new set of challenges from a security perspective. I think, you know, in the federal space, there's a culture of, I can protect it because it's in my data center.
And I own it.
Right. I can put my arms around it. Now there's going to be a new level of trust, being able to certify and accredit an external cloud service provider to be able to deliver that capability. It will take time. Technically, there's not really an issue there. It's really kind of a culture and a policy change, but we'll get there.
Right. And it's one of the things I think observations made is the importance of communication and collaboration across government and industry, and cloud seems to me, it sounds like that's an area where it's going to be part, to have partnerships between industry and government is going to be vital. Yeah, true partnerships.
I agree. I mean, there's programs like FedRAMP, which is allowing cloud providers to be identified and certified. And I think that's a great first step. It certainly creates an open dialogue between the leading cloud providers and the government. In our role, it's helpful because we can work with our clients to kind of help bridge that gap as well. And, you know, we have a lot of great partnerships with the leading cloud providers and have been delivering a lot of capabilities as shared services, as managed services. And so something that we're looking forward to continuing to do.
Right. And you know what? Just a future state of technology, and we've got about 2 minutes left. And you already mentioned, you know, machines that can analyze the threat and the actors and, you know, and predictive intelligence and deliver, you know, patches and fixes is, you know, are there other aspects of where we will be with the future state of technology that will be important considerations when you think about CDM?
I think that we're already drowning in data. I think that CDM will, you know, provide more data that we need to analyze. We're going to need more computing power. We're going to need more trained professionals in the field of data sciences to be able to actually make sense out of that information. And, you know, from Booz Allen as a firm, that's a significant investment for us around data sciences. and something that we're really applying a lot in the cyber domain.
Right. So I have one last question. It's a question. What cyber ready, is that the key to success? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I mentioned. I'll be quick. I mentioned that I'm in one of our leaders in strategic innovation group around predictive intelligence. And we have offerings around predictive threat intelligence and cyber ready. And so it really goes down to turning intelligence into, you know, operational concepts and helping our clients better proactively protect and defend their enterprise.
Right. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the show. I want to thank my guest today, Brad Medary. Brad is a senior vice president at Booz Allen Hamilton. Brad is a leader in Booz Allen Hamilton's strategic innovation group, focusing on delivering cyber solutions, cyber ready, for federal and commercial customers. And Brad, thanks for being on the show. It was great.
Hey, Roger. Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me here today.
And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.